I would go home to West Virginia, to see my old people, and you'd see the Monongahela Valley practically closed down, and the coal cars rusting, and this feeling of nobody anywhere reporting, I started to write about it, and I even wrote in the journal that if I wrote one piece about newsreels and how there was no reality, and I said that if Tom Paine, I believe he sold 100,000 copies of The Age of Reason, when it couldn't have been many more than a million white people on the Eastern Seaboard. They had almost 10% of the population bought The Age of Reason. Well, I argued that if he were alive in 31, he'd be using a newsreel and not printing The Age of Reason. Because outside of Main Street and Wall Street, and perhaps one or two men, Stuart Chase and Lewis Mumford, perhaps, but the sale of anything analyzing the rampant speculation, the careless bank practices, looking back in history, you'll find very few records in words. I met up with a wonderful group of older men who listened to me tolerantly, and I told them about a bestseller. The two newspaper men in Chicago collected nothing but bloody pictures of the gang wars, all the Prohibition gang, they're sitting down there and all this. And they got out a little publication called X Marks the Spot. But rightly, they got a newsstand distributor. So instead of going to bookstores, and they sold hundreds of thousands of copies. Now that gave me an idea. I went to Mr. Kerr and everyone in New York on a committee to repeal Prohibition and tried to do a great big picture book, more distinguished than X Marks the Spot, a marvelous man named Tom Cleland, who was the art director of a new magazine not yet out on which I'd worked hilariously called Fortune. So I tried to peddle it. In other words, I tried to get the literary or financial people to see the power of the photograph used as a polemic and, if you want, or as a propaganda medium. Yes, eventually I finally did put together a book, and it was published. You must remember, you're too young, but in 1931, 1932, 1933, until Mr. Roosevelt was elected, there was a great suppression of news, partly from fear. When the banks started failing in Detroit, long before the bank holiday, there was a fear that it would cause panic, and there were all sorts of shenanigans that were known to the community, but the publisher was frightened. In a legitimate way, his fear set in, and that fact is nothing to fear but fear itself. And Mr. Roosevelt had a validity all through the warp and woof of our society. So it wasn't just that I had a closed idea of photographs, it was that somebody said something about what's going on. Well, I had been on a cross-country trip. I met some in-laws in Detroit. They all had bulletproof glass. There were at least 150,000 unemployed United Automobile workers. Of course, there wasn't any United Automobile workers.
No.
But they were automobile workers. And a great, great many of the tire and automobile workers were ex-GIs from the AEF in the First World War. And a majority of those ex-veterans, or veterans, were from the Southern Highlands, my part of the world, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, West Virginia. So they were unemployed and standing around, sitting around up at Belle Isle, and every type of agitator was at them, communism, socialism, Nazism, fascism, holy rollers, and they weren't paying any attention. What they wanted was work. Some of them rode over to Canada and came bootleggers. Some tore down the shacks in the winter in order to get enough fuel. But no one was reporting, and no one was photographed.